The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, let's get right into the Monday night football game. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Indianapolis Colts. I would say went about as expected. It actually was a relatively competitive game throughout. It was pretty quiet, though. It was mostly all defense, as expected, and, you know, just a bunch of field goals here and there. There were a couple of touchdowns as well, but there were also some questionable things going on, especially with the Colts at the end of the game. Kenny Pickett, he actually had a pretty solid game for the Steelers. He went 20 for 28 with 174 yards. Their ground attack had a good night. Their defense had a really solid night. And it was just an overall pretty solid night just for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They did get the win 24 to 17. The Colts weren't terrible. Their defense looked really good. Jonathan Taylor, he also had a pretty solid night as well. But it's really just their offensive line is not good. And then also, Matt Ryan, he's never been known to be a mobile quarterback, but the dude is like the Statue of freaking Liberty in the anytime he drops back to pass. And it's just like almost every time he drops back to pass, it kind of feels like he's going to get sacked, or he's going to fumble the ball, or he's just going to throw it up and it's going to go nowhere, or it's going to be an interception. It just always seems like a negative play with Matt Ryan, and you could just tell the dude is just washed. He needs to retire after the season. I don't know where his headspace is at, but he's just not a good quarterback, and you could just tell every time he drops back to pass. And I feel really bad for him because he has the Dallas Cowboys defense coming up against him this week. So look out for Micah Parsons, dude, because I have a feeling he's going to be seeing a lot of him, as he saw a lot of the Steelers defense. And while they did make some pretty solid plays and they did make it a really solid game, it was very questionable on the last drive because, you know, the Steelers, they went up 24-17. So the Colts were getting, they were actually putting together a pretty solid final drive. They had about, a minute 40-ish left on the clock. Plus, they had all three of their timeouts. So it's like, hey, they've got a lot of time on the clock. And with the way they were moving the ball, it was very plausible that they were going to tie up the game. But of course, I don't know what the hell was going on, but they, like I said, they had three timeouts. And Matt Ryan made this huge second down play where he ran for a good chunk of yardage. And he goes down. And usually you would call a timeout in that position because they had about, like, I want to say 40-ish seconds on the clock. So you want to call a timeout, especially when you have three timeouts. You might as well call a timeout so the clock can stop and you guys can get set up for another play. And they did not. And they ended up letting the clock run down probably about, like, 15-ish more seconds. And then that's when they finally called a timeout. It was just a very odd sequence of events. And I kind of feel like that's what really blew the last drive for them, and ultimately they would just end up not scoring. Steelers would get the ball back, and they would just kneel down and get the win. So it was a very decent game from two shitty teams, but just like I was saying with the Colts, their offense is so, it has potential to be pretty good. It's just that offensive line is not very good, and then you've got the Statue of Liberty, Matt Ryan, back there who just can't do shit. And, it was just a pretty bad showing from the Colts. So that's how Monday Night Football went. Now let's get to the Top 10 NFL Power Rankings for Week 12. Kind of crazy to think we just finished Week 12 of the NFL. I mean, the football season just flies on by. It kind of feels like the offseason drags on forever. But then once the season gets going, it feels like preseason just started, and here we are at the final stretch, basically, of the season. This is where playoff teams and eventually championship teams are made, is in the month of December and in the month of January as well, and then, of course, in the Super Bowl. So let's get started with the Top 10 this week. We have a couple new teams in here, but it's pretty much essentially the same overall, beginning with number one. I still have the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 9-2. I just feel like, you know, obviously they've already won a championship. They have been one of the top teams in the league for, what now, the last like four-ish years. So you really can't count them out. And Mahomes just continues to get better. Travis Kelce is just having an amazing year. So it was really, I couldn't put the Eagles back up over them, not just because I hate the Eagles, but really because I do think the Chiefs are the better team. Patrick Mahomes, as I said, he leads the league in passing with 3,585 yards. He also leads the league in touchdowns, 29 touchdowns, and then only 8 interceptions on the season. And as I mentioned before, he's also thrown in the running as well. He's not doing it as much, of course. He's doing it when he needs to, but defenses better beware of that, because he's really added it in, and he's getting some good chunks of yardage and setting his team up to at least get 3 points. And usually with the Chiefs, they walk away with 7 points. And then Travis Kelce, he's at 912 receiving yards on the season, so he's almost hit 1,000 yards. And he's got 12 touchdowns on the season. So him and Mahomes just have not let up, and they just continue to score like no other. But then you turn over to the defensive side of the ball, and Chris Jones, he has 10 sacks on the season. So defensively, while they're pretty quiet, they're not that bad. They're getting the job done. They're getting sacks, and they're getting turnovers, and they're doing what they need to do. So I have the Chiefs at number one. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Philadelphia Eagles, overall record of 10-1. And it's just the Jalen Hurts show with this team. He's passed for 2,560 yards, 17 touchdowns, and only 3 interceptions, plus 597 rushing yards and 8 rushing touchdowns. So he's just really doing it all for this team. But really the defense is really good too. Bradbury has 3 interceptions on the season. I can't remember the safety's name right now, but he leads the league with in the most interceptions. Now he did injure himself in the last game. So it looks like he's going to be out a couple games. But, I mean, overall, the Eagles' defense is really good. They have 15 interceptions overall on the season, so they're just getting a lot of takeaways, and they're making the big plays when they need to. So the Eagles, number two this week. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 7-4, and it's just really all about this defense, too. They have 33 sacks on the season. Joey Bosa has 11.5 of those sacks. But then also they're getting some good takeaways, too. You have Hufanga, who's got 4 interceptions on the season, and the 49ers are just looking – they seem to get better each and every week, and that's why they are at number 3 on my power rankings. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 8-3. Just Josh Allen, it really goes as he goes. If he has a bad game where he's throwing a bunch of interceptions, well, they usually lose. And if he has a great game where he's just balling uncontrollably, well, they usually win. So far in the season, he's passed for 3,183 yards, 23 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. He still leads the league in interceptions, so that's definitely his weakness. But other than that, dude's looking great. But then also you have Stephon Diggs, man. He is just killing it this season. He has 1,110 receiving yards, which is only behind Tyreek Hill of the Miami Dolphins. He has 9 touchdowns as well, so he's just a huge difference maker for this Bills offense. But then also defensively, they are getting turnovers like no other. They have 13 interceptions on the season, and they're just really getting at the quarterback, and they're just an overall solid team. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Dallas Cowboys, overall record of 8-3, and it's all about their defense as well. They lead the league with 45 sacks. They also have 15 forced fumbles. Micah Parsons has 3 of those forced fumbles and 12 of those sacks, and the dude is obviously the front runner at this point for Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, if there is one dude who makes an extreme impact on his team, it's definitely Parsons. Nick Bosa of the 49ers is also a difference maker as well. Parsons, it just feels like he's in on every single defensive play. It kind of feels like even if he doesn't get a sack, even if he doesn't get a tackle, his big hand is in the way, or you could tell he makes the quarterback rush the play or rush the pass. So it's really just Micah Parsons is a huge difference maker this year and obviously the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year. And then you also have Trayvon Diggs. He's got 3 interceptions on the year, and he's really been locking it down with every single receiver who he's gone up against this year. And he's known for the interceptions, and last year he was known for the blown plays, but so far he really has been one of the solid lockdown cornerbacks in the NFL this year. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Minnesota Vikings, overall record of 9-2. Kirk Cousins, he's had a very solid season. He's passed for 2,760 yards, 17 touchdowns, and only 9 interceptions. So he's having a very solid, efficient year. But then he just has to throw it up to Justin Jefferson, who has 1,232 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns on the season. So he's just really he's just something else. That's for damn sure. I mean, there are some times where Cousins literally throws it up and Jefferson has like 3 guys on him and he still gets the ball. So that's just what kind of a playmaker that dude is. And the Vikings got a very solid win, obviously one of the top teams in the NFC. So I've got them at 6 this week. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Miami Dolphins, overall record of 8-3. And it's just really, this offense is so powerful and potent. And they just are so shifty and have so many different ways they can score. And they seem to get stronger each and every week. Tua Tagovailoa has passed for 2,564 yards with 19 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. So he continues to be extremely efficient. But then he's got Tyreek Hill, of course, with 1,233 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns on the season. So it's just a really offensive force for this team. And they're going to be tested this week because they get the San Francisco 49ers this week. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Cincinnati Bengals. Overall record of 7-4, and this team just goes as Joe Burrow goes. He has 3,160 yards passing on the season, 23 touchdowns, and only 8 interceptions, and he's just having a great season, other than when he's on his ass. But even when he is on his ass, he seems to still it's gonna be interesting if he ever does get a good offensive line at some point in his career, because he's probably going to be like the most efficient quarterback in the league if he has time to pass. But T. Higgins has also really stepped in the absence of Jamar Chase with 826 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns. And the Bengals, they just are getting stronger each and every week themselves, and they seem to be putting together another run like they did at the end of last year. And who knows where they're going to be come playoff time, but this is a team you really don't want to face right now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Tennessee Titans, overall record of 7-4. And this team is just all about the defense and all about Derrick Henry, who has 1,048 rushing yards on the season and 10 touchdowns. They are a weird team. You just never really know what you're going to get from them. But they always come to play. They always play a good game, and they're usually always in the game until the very last snap. So while they don't seem to be really blowing anybody out of the water, they're still a really solid team, and they look like they're going to be a force once the playoffs start. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week is the Los Angeles Chargers, overall record of 6-5. And this offense just looks really good when Justin Herbert's on. He's got 3,004 passing yards on the season, 19 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And it's really just all about him. This is a weird team. They do look like they're definitely a playoff team, but they still have a lot of kinks to work out with this team, with the play calling, with some of the decisions they make. But they put together a really solid win last week, and they're really difficult to write off just because Justin Herbert is a damn good quarterback. Then let's see the playoff picture now week 12 in the AFC right now. The number 1 seed would be the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 9-2. They currently lead the AFC West. Then the Miami Dolphins would be the number 2 seed, 8-3 record, and they are leading the AFC East right now. Tennessee Titans would be the 3 seed. They're 7-4, and they lead the AFC South at the moment. And then the Baltimore Ravens would be the number 4 seed. They're 7-4, and they lead the AFC North. But that is a slim margin right now because the Bengals are hot on their ass. So we'll see what happens in the North. But then turning over to the wild card in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills are 8-3, Cincinnati Bengals are 7-4, and then the New York Jets are 7-4. So those are the top three wild card teams at this moment. And then on the outside looking in would be the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Chargers, who I think are both legit teams that could actually make it. At this point, I really would not be shocked if the Bengals end up taking the North, because right now the Bengals are in an upward trend, whereas the Ravens are in a downward trend. So I wouldn't be shocked. I still think they're both playoff teams. But the team that I kind of feel like is going to be on shaky grounds is probably going to be the Jets, who currently hold that last wild card spot. And I could see them possibly losing that to the Chargers, just because I feel like the Chargers are a pretty decent team, and they might make a run here in December. And then turning over to the NFC, we have the Philadelphia Eagles would be the number 1 seed. They're 10-1. Right now they hold a lead on the NFC East. Then the Minnesota Vikings would be the number 2 seed at 9-2. Right now they have the lead on the NFC North. Then the San Francisco 49ers would be the number 3 seed at 7-4. They have the lead on the NFC West. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be the 4 seed. They're 5-6, but they have the lead on the NFC South. And then the wild card teams right now are the Dallas Cowboys, 8-3, New York Giants, 7-4, and the Washington Commanders at 7-5. And then on the outside looking in right now would be the Seattle Seahawks and the Atlanta Falcons. Out of those two teams, I really only feel like the Seahawks are legit. I kind of feel like the Falcons are just a shitty team that they're just in a horrible division and they just are somehow hanging on. But I kind of feel like the only team that could possibly sneak in in one of those last playoff spots would be Seattle. We'll see, but right now the NFC East has all four teams in playoff position, which is just crazy because this division has been the laughing stock of the league for the last couple of years, and now all four teams are not only above 500, but they're all in line for the playoffs right now. And really, I feel like the only team that can make some noise and possibly sneak in would be Seattle, who currently is on the downside right now. But, you know, there's still a month of football to play, so this could be shaken up at a moment's notice. And then let's get into the Thursday night football game for Week 13. It's the Buffalo Bills at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Bills are a 5.5-point favorite. I mean, usually this is a competitive matchup. While New England, they did have a pretty solid game last week, probably their best showing of the season last week. I still don't believe in this team at all. They're still offensively, they have nothing going on. Defensively, they are very stout. They are very good. But just offensively, they don't have a lot of weapons. And Mac Jones had his first good game of his entire career last week. So I don't know if that's going to last for much longer. And then you got Buffalo here, who hasn't been as dominating as they started off the season, but I kind of feel like this is a good starting point to get going on a roll. And I actually have the Buffalo Bills going into New England and getting a big win, 30-17. And then just a little bit of a last bit of NFL news to cover tonight. Deshaun Watson is going to be back this week for the Cleveland Browns. This is going to be his first game he's played in a year and a half. He's missed, he was suspended the beginning of this season due to all his lawsuits and stuff, in the off season, but he missed all of last season with the Texans, not due to the lawsuits, but actually just due to a dispute where he just didn't want to play with them anymore. So the guy has not played in a year and a half. He's also been really ducking the media, and it's actually been very amusing because ever since he's been traded to the Cleveland Browns, they've been super, super protective and not wanting to let dude answer questions and not be questioned about all the stupid shit that he did in the offseason and why he was sued and all those lawsuits were brought against him. And by the way, this rant has nothing to do with any of that. It really has to do with him being a fucking pussy-ass bitch who can't even go to the podium and answer fucking questions. Because Deshaun Watson, as of this week, is now officially the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. And every starting quarterback in the league has to go to the media. They have media availability with every single piece of media that is in front of them at practice all week long. Every single day, the starting quarterback is supposed to go speak with the media. They're supposed to go speak with the media before and after games. Basically, the quarterback is the most obligated person to the media other than the coach on the team. And so it's really amusing because today was basically his first, I think yesterday was his first day at practice, but today was the first day where media was allowed at practice. And of course, he wasn't available to speak to the media today because, of course, poor little Deshaun, he can't handle being asked about the precious little lawsuits that he paid off this summer. Oh, poor him. Hey, dude, how about you not fuck around? How about you not get in trouble? That's what happens when you fuck around, stupid. Make better moves and make better judgments in your life, and you won't have to answer these fucking questions. And you know what? Even what he did's not even that big of a deal compared to some other dudes in the league who have had to answer questions. I mean, let's use Michael Vick as the example. That dude literally spent time behind bars. He came back to the NFL, and he was such an adult that he still to this day answers questions about being arrested and his time behind bars and just that horrible time in his life. And in my opinion, I feel like he's completely atoned for everything that happened in the past. And he's a perfect example of somebody who completely falls down, gets back up, and becomes a good success story. Whereas Deshaun Watson falls down. This is a big whiny fucking cunt and can't even answer fucking questions about payoffs of a bunch of lawsuits that he had over the summer. By the way, there's still more out there. You know, there was a new one that came about like a month ago. So, yeah, dude, sorry, you're going to have to answer those questions. And quite frankly, I'm not the type of person who likes to have people continuously hold on to things and bring up things. But when you're a little bitch who runs and hides and needs protection from the almighty Cleveland Browns because you can't answer simple questions when you're the fucking face of their organization, that's ridiculous to me. And Deshaun Watson is just proving more and more what a fucking annoying, entitled cunt he is. So like last episode when I said when you look at the definition of twat and you see Kyler Murray's face right there, well, when you open up the dictionary and you see the definition of big, whiny, sloppy cunt, you'll see Deshaun Watson's wonky fucking eye there. Stupid idiot. God, it's so ridiculous too to see the Cleveland Browns just put this little safety net around dude, and it's like, let him answer the questions. How difficult is it? Actually, if you go up to the podium today and answer the questions today, eventually over time those questions will go away. But the more that you keep not answering the questions and acting like the big fucking cunt you are, they're going to keep coming at you with the questions. And I, quite frankly, hope you get asked the questions every fucking day until you retire or whatever, because in my personal opinion, it doesn't matter what Deshaun Watson does. Dude hasn't played in a year and a half. Guarantee you, homegirl's going to come out and suck a fat fucking dick and not even be good, because also he plays for the Browns. Who's ever been good for the Browns besides Jim Brown? Other than that, yeah, have fun, dude. Anyways, let's move on to college football. And the top 10 this week, we have a little bit of a shakeup because we had a pretty big upset this week between Ohio State and Michigan. And we have a new team up in the top four. And then, of course, we have this is basically the last week of college football. Either teams are completely done. And all that we have left are just the championship games. And then we'll be talking bowl games here pretty soon. So let's start it off with the number one overall team that's pretty much been there all season long. Georgia Bulldogs, still undefeated, 12-0 on the season. They just beat up Georgia Tech 37-14. And they will be playing the SEC championship this weekend against LSU. Then at number two, Michigan. They are still undefeated, 12-0 on the season, and they put a whooping on Ohio State this past weekend, 45-23. It really wasn't even a close game. It was close like in the first quarter, but then it was just Michigan the rest of the way. They suffocated Ohio State. They made Ohio State look so bad that they fell out of the top four, and they're probably not going to be in the college football playoff now because of that one game. And Ohio State played a really solid season, but they looked like Boo Boo the Fool against Michigan this week. And so Michigan will be playing in the Big Ten championship game on Saturday against Purdue. And then at number three, we have TCU, who's still undefeated. They're 12-0, and they just put a whooping on Iowa State, 62-14. They play the Big 12 championship this weekend against Kansas State, who are ranked 10th. And then rounding out the coaches' poll this week, top four is USC. They have now cracked their way into the college football playoff. They are 11-1 on the season, and they're actually looking really good. They just beat Notre Dame 38-27. They will be playing in the Pac-12 championship this weekend against Utah, who is ranked 11th. So we'll see if USC gets that win. It looks like they're going to be in the college football playoff. Then at number five, Ohio State. They tumbled all the way down to five, and they are 11-1 on the season. As I mentioned, they just got stomped by Michigan, 45-23. Then at number six, we have Alabama. They're 10-2 on the season, and they just beat Auburn, 49-27. And then Tennessee is ranked seventh. They finished the season 10-2, and they just obliterated Vanderbilt, 56-0. Then at number eight, we have Penn State. They end the season 10-2, and they just beat up on Michigan State 35-16. Clemson's at number nine. They are 10-2, and they actually just lost a pretty close game to South Carolina, as a matter of fact, 31-30 this past weekend. But they will be playing in their championship game at North Carolina this weekend. And then rounding out the college football top 10 this week is Kansas State. They are 9-3. They just beat up on Kansas 47-27. And as I said, they will be in the Big 12 championship game against TCU this Saturday. So we got basically college football season is pretty much over. And we've got Heisman around the corner. And then obviously all the bowl games will be around the corner as well. And then the college football playoff. So yeah, it's just crazy how fast football season goes, but that is just the way it goes. Time flies when you're watching football, I guess. So y'all enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.